time has now arrived then, brethren and sisters, friends and young people, to call forward our speaker for this afternoon, Mr. Robert Bennett, who is to speak to us on that subject, the politics of the Kingdom of God. Brother Robert, please.
On its present course, the world, as we know it today, is heading for disaster. This is a time for the world to worry, but they go unheeded. The signs are all there, but they turn a blind eye. Even though in the media we see politicians come together around peace talks, trying to sort out the world's problems, but they are to no avail, because there is a set plan in God's eyes, and He will fulfill what He set out to do. This perception the world has is merely a reflection that we get from the general opinion of people today. Where they generate their opinion is anyone's guess. Whether they view it from social issues, environmental issues, the economical state of the world, or the political chaos that the world seems to be experiencing at the present time. We can admire the politicians of the world and what they are trying to do, but you and I know that any effort that they put into it only make matters worse. They make what is an imbalance a further imbalance, and soon it will tip over the edge. Scripture shows the reason why. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Although everything under the sun seems to be one complete mess, a scenario is being built up piece by piece, as if it's been controlled by an outside force. To the eyes that see and the ears that hear, there is only one that has supreme control over the kingdoms of men. The same one who has brought about the same principles as the fulfillment of all other prophecies in ages past, namely through the policy of the powers that be controlled by God. I took that as a quote from a certain writer by the name of John Thomas in a book, Elpis Israel. The book Elpis Israel, in terms of English, is the hope of Israel. In a previous lecture, we have already explained that the restoration of Israel is one of the main features in the gospel message from God. It is so important that it is indispensable to the setting up of the kingdom of God, for they are the kingdom, having been constituted such by the covenant of Sinai. As it is written, "Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." The apostles understood this well enough, and so do all who understand the gospel of the kingdom. After his resurrection, Jesus conversed with them during 40 days. What he spoke about is what he speaks to us through the gospel message. He speaks of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And this was certainly long enough in that 40 days, under the instruction of such a teacher, to enable them to understand the subject well. It took possession of their minds and hearts. They absorbed everything that he spoke to them and created in them a desire for its immediate establishment. Hence they put the question to him in Acts chapter 1. They said, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel. Now this, as we know, is a loaded question, because the apostles regarded Israel as having once possessed the kingdom before. Now they were asking Jesus if he was going to restore the kingdom again. When? Well, the time that they were asking was in the time of Jesus. And we all know from history that when Israel had the kingdom, it was wholly governed by the Israelites. No foreigner had any rights whatsoever under Jewish law to hold an office of authority in that time. We also note from Scripture in the days of Jesus and the apostles that the role had changed. Foreigners were now in control. The Romans had now gained the authority over the Israelites in their own land. At no time since have the Israelites had total authority over the land. When the state of Israel was declared in 1948, we only see a partial restoration had begun. But we are talking about a time when Jesus Christ returns to the earth. He will find a good number of Jews in Israel, but not all of them are Israelites. For the Jewish nation consists of 12 tribes in all. After the death of King Solomon, these 12 tribes became divided. When foreigners invaded the land, 2 tribes were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And the other 10 tribes, as was predicted in Deuteronomy, if they do not follow God's ways, they would be scattered throughout the world. And that's exactly what happened to the 10 tribes of Israel. They were taken into captivity by the Assyrian king. The Jews that are currently in the land are the 2 tribes under the banner of Judah, while the others remain scattered throughout the world. But the political horizon is being set, even as we speak. All these things are going to be changed, as we shall soon learn from Scripture. We go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 22. Says in here, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Who is Daniel speaking of? Next verse says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. The king had a dream of 4 consecutive empires, world empires. First beginning at the king of Babylon. Then came the Medes and Persians. Then came the Grecian empire. Then came the Roman empire. 4 consecutive world empires. A complete history that had not yet happened. But one thing we can say is a significant word in the words that I've used already. World empires. The kingdom of God will take place on the demolishment of all these empires. They are no longer. They are in the dust. But the kingdom of God will take place. It will be set up when those empires are in the dust. We are now in the final phase before it is set up entirely. World empires. If we overcome a world empire and replace it with another, we're talking about a universal empire. Worldwide. We go to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 14. Beginning of verse 13. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom that which will not be destroyed. Here is a universal kingdom that covers the whole wide world. We also shown in those few passages of Scripture that one ruler shall govern over that kingdom. And just to show that it's not just confined to the prophets, let's go to the Psalms. And Psalm 72 in particular. Psalm 72 and verse 11. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. All nations of the world shall serve God's chosen one, God's chosen ruler, a righteous judge. And all the world will be blessed. Go to Genesis chapter 12, because there the promises were made, as Daniel said, thou art the God of our fathers. Who were the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there were certain promises made to the fathers. Go to Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and to a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, it is this last quotation that gives us an idea of the future kingdom of God. Who is to be God's chosen ruler? Go to Luke chapter 1. You have the answer. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. And in this particular chapter, we have recorded the birth of a child. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Is there anything special about Jesus? Yes. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob, which was changed to Israel, forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Everything ties up. Piece by piece, the kingdom of God is being set up. It only takes the return of Jesus to the earth to finalize it. What do we learn of what his nationality is? It's Jewish. Will Christ execute the setting up of the kingdom of God alone? No. Scripture identifies a certain class of people that will assist him. And who are these people? Go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and chapter 7. And verse 9. After this I behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them, unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The called, the chosen, the faithful servants of God, that have come through great tribulation to be associated with the promises of God. These are they that are washed. They've washed their robes. They walk in righteousness before him, even now. In Revelation 14, verse 3, they're spoken of as the 144,000, which are redeemed from the earth. Again, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. You go back a couple of pages in Revelation 5 and verse 10. We read, And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. What did God say in an earlier quotation? He spoke of Israel being a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. Not natural Israel, but spiritual Israel. The called, the chosen, the faithful servants of God, who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are the ones which will be redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Are they then Jewish? The answer is, well, yes, in type, by adoption. What do you mean by adoption? Well, look at it this way. If the ancient kingdom of God was ruled by Israelites, what nation on earth will constitute the first dominion in the future kingdom of God? Well, let's go to one of the minor prophets. Let's go to Micah. Micah 4 and verse 6. Speaking of the future. In that day, said the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. What nation on earth will constitute the first dominion? Israel. Because the apostles asked that, wilt thou restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were fully convinced of it. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 21. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, or better rendering, the nations, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and will bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation. Not the two tribes that are currently in the land, but 12 tribes gathered from around the world to the land upon the mountain of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall no more be two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. So we're now looking at the kingdom of God being set up, with Israel being the one nation of 12 tribes in the land. Isn't it amazing how Scripture can piece together that whole picture that we see? Wherever you go, there's a little piece here and a little piece there, like a huge jigsaw, with that one final piece to go into place. Why is it then Christendom teaches anything but the Jewish restoration? They say the Jews are past hope unless they convert to Christianity. And as proof of this, they quote Romans 11, verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. But God is able to graft them in again. But, as we know, they have failed to see the context of what Paul is teaching in this chapter. He is warning the Gentiles of their position, not the Jews. He's telling them, don't overstep your mark. The Gentiles were given the opportunity to partake of the hope of Israel. Not the hope of the Gentiles, it's the hope of Israel. And that opportunity was given to them that they may come within the house of Israel. And to partake of the hope of Israel by the grace and mercy of God. In verse 11 of Romans 11, Paul says, through their fall, the Jewish fall, his salvation has come to the Gentiles. For to provoke them, the Jews, unto jealousy. We go to Romans chapter 11. Verse 20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Is that the end of Israel? No. They've got to become the first dominion in the kingdom of God. So it's not the end of the Jews. Not what Christendom teaches. And thou standest by faith. Here is another warning from Paul. Be not high-minded, but fear. He's telling the Gentiles, don't overstep your bounds. For if God spared not the natural branches, the Jews, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If, a little big word, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. But the Gentiles, the world we see around us today, have not learned this. They're totally ignorant of God's ways. Christianity, they stumble upon every point that the Bible refers to. Verse 25, they also stumble on. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, they shall come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, Israel. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable is his judgments, and his ways past finding out. This clearly indicates that both Jews and Gentiles are currently in unbelief if they don't believe the gospel message as taught by Jesus and the apostles. It is laid down as a condition of the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. God can only graft the Jews into their own olive tree upon a principle of faith. Go to Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is Paul speaking. He was fully persuaded that there was a better time to come. He, like the apostles, would love to have seen the kingdom set up. But Paul knew it was far into the future. But what a testimony that has been handed down to us. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to the Gentiles. It is a matter of faith and belief in the gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. This is where the Jews fell. because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. They stumbled at that stumbling stone. They thought that the law would continue. But they failed to see that the law of Moses pointed forward unto Christ. All the things under the law, the tabernacle, all the offerings, pointed forward to Christ as a school teacher to bring them unto Christ. But they failed to see it. And that was their stumbling stone. That was their fall. But it opened the door to the Gentiles, that they may have share in the hope of Israel. Romans chapter 15. Verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." He's not just addressing the Gentiles on their own, as Christianity will teach you, because they think the Jews have no hope. But he's addressing the Gentiles in association with the Jews and the Jewish hope of Israel and the association with their fathers to whom the promises were made. I say again, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people, God's people, Israel. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any things which Christ hath not wrought by me, make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ is named, but lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey to Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought in my way hitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister to the saints. Paul's missionary journeys were to the Gentiles, to preach the hope of Israel, to preach the coming of the kingdom of God upon the earth, to preach that Jesus will be the ruler over the kingdom of God in the future. You go to our reading in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Not just natural Jews. We talk about Gentiles. Those who are the children of Abraham are children of faith. Those who believe in the gospel, those that believe that Jesus will be the ruler, the sovereign ruler of the kingdom of God. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Here we see an association with Abraham. People of the world who have accepted the gospel message, believed it, baptized, and walk in faith. These are the ones that are in association with Abraham and the promises made. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says, not as the seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Verse 24. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed. Do you see the connection? To be baptized into Christ, you become associates of Abraham. Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise of the kingdom of God, the promise of your part in the kingdom of God. Thus, Israelites indeed. So, are we Jews? Yes, by adoption. We constitute the circumcised of heart, not of the flesh. We are Jews inwardly by faith in Christ Jesus, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So the kingdom of God will be governed by immortal men and women, Jews by adoption, who will assist Christ in ruling that kingdom over a mortal population, in which the natural Jewish nation will be the first dominion, no longer persecuted by the nations around them. No Arab that will drive them from their land. And the beauty of it is that the kingdom will last 1,000 years. What a change of circumstances. What a change in world order that will only bring peace. While this world that we know it will only be in absolute chaos. The powers that be will rise up against Christ and the saints, naturally. But to face defeat. Psalm 2. Verse 1. Blessed is the man. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. It is a clear picture, isn't it? If you want to trust the chariots and horses and tanks and the powers that be today, we have the picture painted before us. Absolute destruction. But should you want to believe God and his promises and walk according to his commandments, there is only one way forward. Believing in God and being baptized into the saving name. Indeed. But this terrible judgment upon the earth will be only for a time. Because there is another beautiful picture that comes afterwards, which those of many generations past, the apostles, the prophets, the disciples, the followers of old, believed in, that there was a better time, even to their time, to come. Something that we each desire for the kingdom to be set up on the earth. That is our wonderful time. The wonderful time that lies for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see the things contained in the message God has given us. If you go to, I know we've been there before, if you go to Psalm 72, it is a beautiful picture. It is something that anyone with a desire for the kingdom can continually read and enliven that hope. Psalm 72, verse 1, give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountain shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness.
He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. Verse 7. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. Verse 11. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. Verse 14. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. Verse 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And so, it should be our prayer. We should reiterate the words of David. Because it is our strong desire that the kingdom should appear. The development of the present crisis is beyond the control of mankind. We know from the scriptures that God's plan and purpose will be accomplished. We appeal to you, and I know I'm appealing to yours that have already heard it. But should there come a stranger in one evening to listen, I would say this: come and take hold of the gospel of salvation while it is called today. Otherwise, suffer the consequences with the rest of mankind who are in unbelief.